Hello and welcome to the Tech Talk Tuesday podcast. I'm your host, Guillermo Ortiz. And before we begin the show, I just want to give a quick shout out to Steve Heinrich, who does the Pixel Swim podcast. And I'd just like to thank him for shouting me out and promoting my first episode, which currently has about 10 plays on Stitcher. And, you know, thank you for that. Really appreciate the support, and hopefully people from there will enjoy the show. So let's get straight into the show today. And the first thing I want to talk about is Black Friday. So basically, I'm pretty sure Black Friday is coming up for you guys in the U.S. Here in China, we just had 11/11 go by. I talked about this in the last episode, where basically prices for mobile devices and technology and basically anything gets brought down by a drastic amount. And in fact, even though it's past the 11th of November, deals are still on for 11 days after that. So one of my family members is buying or going to buy a new phone, and he's going to take advantage of these deals. So I believe the phone he's buying is one of the new slider phones. It's either going to be the Honor Magic 2 and or the Xiaomi Mi Mix 3. And, you know, I'm really curious and interested about these slider phones. I've seen quite a few of them. I've seen a few videos on them. And I think they're a great solution to combating the notch. You know, some people don't like the notch. They find it quite ugly. And so this whole sliding mechanism is a way to combat that. And I think as the industry finds clever and clever ways, it's just going to get a lot better, and you're going to have choices. But hopefully, you know, in the long run, we do actually eliminate the notch for good instead of just finding quick solutions like these ones. But the phones are extremely well built. They're physical sliders, as you know, in the Oppo Find X and the Vivo Nex. You had motors. On the Oppo, it would raise the whole camera array using a motor as soon as you looked at it for face unlocking. And on the Vivo, it had a single front facing camera that would pop up, and so you would get full screen displays. And it's extremely clever, but they're motors, and I don't have that much confidence in the motor to work over an extended period of time. And, you know, it seems like with these are not motors. These are, you know, sliders that you push yourself, and you bring up the front-facing cameras to take a selfie or something with them. So they're not motors, and so they probably would last a lot longer. The only concern that I might have is that since there is a gap there, anything can really get into your phone. So any tiny particles... I think it's not IP resistant. It's not got IP68 or 7 protection because of the slider, so there's a drawback. So slightly annoying, that one. I guess it's a fair trade-off if you're willing to sacrifice your IP resistance. I'm more worried about things like sand and small hairs and just really disgusting things getting in there and really blocking the use of that sliding mechanism. But, you know, I'm sure people will appreciate it and better than I do and really take a nice fancy to it and will use it day to day, like this family member who's buying the Honor Magic 2, I think. So, yeah. And I'm going to talk about other Black Friday deals or pre-Black Friday deals. And one of the good ones that I saw was for Google Home devices. Now, I think these are pretty expensive, to be honest. Without the deals, a Google Home Mini can take up to $50. And, you know, I think that for a very small speaker with no screen or anything, it's a bit too much money. However, with these pre-Black Friday deals, they've lowered the price down all the way to $25. So that's pretty darn good, I think. It's definitely a lot more agreeable, and you could probably buy two of these and set them, you know, two for the price of one full price, if you get what I mean. So One of them would cost normally 50, and now you'd be buying two for half, which is great. And I'm actually thinking of buying some for my grandpa, who is in Spain, if you don't know. And we're going to head there to Christmas for Christmas. And as a Christmas present, I might get him one of these discounted Google products, Google Home products. But I probably won't get him the Mini. I'll probably get him the Google Home Hub instead, which has a screen. And, you know, it's also discounted, so it's even better. So, yeah, I think I might get him that one. And I think it's really good because you can use your voice as well as use the touchscreen. I think he'd find that extremely useful. He's a big tech fan, my grandpa, so he'd enjoy the whole aspect of using Google, using your voice, using Assistant. And I can also even share it with my grandmother, who will use it for recipes and cooking. So yeah, I definitely think that I will get him this Google Home Hub, especially if it's at a discounted price, because by then the holidays will have reached and it would have been cheaper. That's what I'm going to do in terms of Christmas presents, I think, for my grandparents. But there's a few other deals which I liked. There's a few televisions from TCL which are discounted 4K televisions. I'll leave the link. It's from a CNET article, which is titled Black Friday 2018, The Best Deals Right Now. So I'll leave the link there. And now moving on, there's also actually one more link, one more deal that I found. And if you're a gamer, you definitely know about Red Dead Redemption 2. So there is actually a deal for this game. I don't know exactly how much you're saving, but I heard that this is a fantastic game. Looking at the scores, it's got a 10 out of 10 on IGN and etc., etc. 9 out of 10, 5 out of 5, so I think it's a great game. If there's any of you out there who enjoy gaming, you know, I'd pick this up because apparently it's supposed to be very good. Everywhere on YouTube where I go, there's always a recommended video about this game, so if you do fancy it, I'll have the link in the description. You can go ahead and check it out for yourself. All right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, just a few interesting articles, first of which is about this website. It's on this website called Gadgets 360, which I believe it's an Indian technology website. And it says that Super Earth discovered orbiting suns near star. So I know it's a bit off topic, but, you know, I saw this on this website while I was looking for things for this podcast, and it just popped up. It's a very new article. Again, I'll leave the link. And I just thought it was extremely interesting that there is actually a super Earth close to the sun, extremely close. And apparently it was habitable, or I don't know if it is or was, but I believe there's ice water. So maybe it's not anymore because it's freezing, but I believe it was habitable, and it was really close to the sun. And which brings me to the topic of, is there life out there? I know this is a bit off topic, but I just want to sort of sway a little bit. Is there really life out there, and do I believe that there is? Well, yes, I definitely believe that, you know, somewhere light years and light years away, there is another planet, maybe even two, that has not human beings, obviously, but some sort of living creatures. And you know, I think we're too wrapped up in our own affairs and our own world to really think about how small we are, because we live in a sort of perpetual, timeless cycle where everything has time. There's time everywhere, and we're not seeing how tiny we are compared to the rest of the universe. We don't think about that, but I just think it's good to sometimes visualize this and think about this for a little bit. So, yeah, I'll leave the link. You're welcome to read about it. It's extremely interesting. It's called Barnard Star. And, yeah, it had habitable conditions. Or I don't know if it has or it had, as I said. So, yeah, go read it. And I also wanted to talk about an article on the same website, Gadgets 360, about self-driving cars and how self-driving cars are expanding beyond 400 test drivers. This is from the company Waymo. In Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, I live in China, so it's kind of irrelevant. I don't know about the technology here of self-driving cars. I believe they are developing them, but definitely we don't have, at least in Shanghai, we do not have that you know, test driver thing at all. We haven't even adopted that yet. But Waymo, I've heard of them before. They have expanded beyond 400 self-driving cars, and apparently now you're going to be able to use an app to summon a car without a driver. I don't particularly think that's a great idea. I'm a bit skeptical about these self-driving machines. I don't drive, obviously. I'm too young to drive at the moment, but I love racing games. I love the control, and I don't know if this technology goes big and they start getting commercialized. I hope they won't sort of take out the joy of driving that you get, because I know people love driving. Basically, what I don't want to happen is that these self-driving cars are the mainstream and that driving is reserved for the few and rich. That would be slightly annoying, because, you know, as I grow up, I'm not going to be able to buy just a car with a steering wheel and pedals and start driving for driving's sake. So it is interesting, and I definitely hope it actually goes somewhere, but I just think that I definitely don't want to get into that. I want to drive my own car. I know there's people who probably love this and probably fall asleep on their self-driving Uber to work, and that's about all they'll do, and that's fantastic. That's fine, and that's good, for example, on an airport, drive or on a long drive. If there's no driver, if it's completely safe, that does eliminate the element of fatigue and having to use the bathroom, etc., etc. And as long as the algorithms are correctly programmed and they've sort of tested this a lot over and over, then yeah, I think it'll be fine. I just won't be there queuing up for one of the first rides. And I think, they're using Chrysler minivans as well, so I don't think that's a too particular and attractive car to be driving you around, but I do suppose it's comfortable. All right, moving on. I think there's one or two more things I want to talk about, and one of those is, I don't know if you saw these before, but the Palm Phone was released. And if the audience doesn't know what the Palm Phone is, well, Palm is a brand. I don't know if it used to be or if it is. Palm was a brand back in the early days of Android. They made very popular phones. I remember the Palm Pre comes to mind. And basically, TCL, the TV maker who seems to be buying dead phone companies, BlackBerry and Palm, are two examples. They made a Palm phone, 2018 Palm phone. And, you know, it's a very small thing. It's got a glass back and front and an aluminium chassis, and it looks fantastic, to be honest. It looks like a pebble. It's a pebble. I suppose when you hold it, it would be a pebble. And I'll link the Android Police article. It's got a Snapdragon 435 chipset, 3 GB of RAM, Android 8.1, a 12-megapixel camera on the back, and an 8-megapixel camera on the front. An 800 milliamp hour battery, though. So my thoughts on this, I basically think it's overpriced. It's $350, and you can only get this as a secondary device, and you can only get this on Verizon. And for me, that sort of defeats the whole point of the device, because it's one of two things. A cheap device, a very cheap device, for consumers who don't want to spend a lot on a phone and want a small, compact phone. Or it's a secondary phone that you can take on trips, and the two aspects of this phone eliminate both purposes. Firstly, the cheap thing, it's not cheap. It's $350. You can get better phones than this for cheaper. You can get better phones for $200. You can get better phones for $250. The Moto G series comes to mind immediately. So why would anyone want this instead? And secondly, the whole taking out on a trip for a detox is not going to work, because if you're on a trip and you don't want to take your smartphone, you want to get away from social media. First of all, this phone doesn't actually let you get away from it. It's still there. I don't know if there's any features to actually make you get away from it, but I don't think you can. And secondly, the battery is tinny. It's 800 milliamps, and it's running on full-blown Android 8.1. It has this launcher on top of it, but it is still 8.1, so I believe that it is going to die, and if when you actually need to call someone, you're not going to be able to because your phone will be dead. So I don't think it's really a detox device for the holidays. I doubt that it'll work. I doubt it'll get any sales. I mean, it's an interesting, you know, niche product to have, like a special thing to have, but just like any like phone, just like the Blackberries, basically. Even though the Blackberry has got more use, just reminds me of them, because the keyboard is such a specific thing, a specific need. The Palm phone, I mean, if you want to buy one, I'm not going to stop you, go ahead, but I just don't think it's worth it, the money. It's not a value proposition. I'll leave the Android Police article in the description. And you can check that out. And finally, I just want to talk about the Galaxy S10. Of course, this will probably be coming out spring 2019. And Samsung has unveiled a variety of new notches. A V, a U, an O, and an infinity display notch. And I don't know which one's going to be on the S10. I doubt it's the infinity display. I'll put a link to the article where I found this. And I'm looking to get a Galaxy S10 in spring 2019. So hopefully, you know, the V notch looks pretty decent. I'm not a fan of the whole punch hole thing, which is the O notch. But if it's got to hide the front-facing camera, or it's got to house just the front-facing camera, I suppose you'll get used to it. I don't know, I don't see myself being a fan of having a black hole on the screen. I wish they would just, and they have unveiled it. I think they know how to do it, how to hide the sensors and become the first true full-screen phone. So yeah, there is actually an alternative to this that does not involve either a slider or this Samsung thing, and it's made by ZTE. It came out a week ago or so, and that would be the ZTE Nubia X. Now, this thing does away with the notch. It doesn't have a notch at all. It's got a massive 6.39-inch, I don't know if it's 3.9, but it's 6-something, LCD IPS panel with completely bezel-less, no front-facing camera. On the back, it's got a dual camera on the back. And it's also got a 5-inch AMOLED display on the back. And basically what you can do is you can turn the phone around, you can go on that 5-inch OLED, and if you need to take a selfie, just use the back camera, the dual camera. And it blends perfectly in the display when you close it. So it's perfect. It's a good option. I don't know if manufacturers will adopt this, but, you know, it's creative. Why not? The only problem I see with this is battery life. I believe the battery range is around 3,000 milliamps thereabout. And if you're going to have two screens, if you're going to really be using the back screen, I would suppose that battery wouldn't last you that long. And the front screen is IPS LCD, so it's not got the battery saving grace that an OLED display has, of course, because it's a backlight back there. So yeah, hopefully manufacturers adopt this. It's a cool design. It's a cool idea. I'll leave a link. It's not expensive, at least here in China at the moment, is around $3,600. I don't know exactly. I think that's around $300, something like that. So it's not expensive. I'll leave links to all these products that I'm talking about in the show notes. And I suppose this is going to bring this episode of Tech Talk Tuesday to an end. I did record this twice, so hopefully it sounds better than the first time. And I'll see you next time on Tech Talk Tuesday.